This is Penn Jillette on the big free FM, CBS Radio, sitting across from Michael Goudeau. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada. Last night, you know, I went to 3121. You know what 3121 is?
I do not.
Nobody does. Nobody in the world knows. It's
you just made it up.
It's the name of Prince's club, and they and it's at the Rio. He opened this big big club. We've talked about Prince before on the radio, how he wanted a camel at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he has a big suite now at the Rio. This is our hotel, you know.
Sure.
This is the Penn & Teller Hotel. And the Penn & Teller Theater is still called the Penn & Teller Theater, but the Shinta's room is now called 3121. If you told...
How do you spell 3121? Can you spell that for me?
Right. 3121.
Oh, right, right.
3121. And I think it must be biblical because he's like a Jehovah's Witness now or something.
Right.
He does like door knockers in the morning and stuff. It's if he knew it was the Shinta's room, he probably wouldn't think it was as cool as he does. But when he came in, by the time Prince got here, it was the 3121. And the steakhouse, there was a steakhouse next door that just, the sign goes up, it was 3121. They just stuck a sign over it. Or maybe it's a whole, maybe, I mean, I shouldn't say that, it's unfair. Maybe Prince is cooking in there too, I don't know. But I went to the opening, because, you know, I'm a celebrity in town. A big celebrity.
I wasn't invited.
Very big. Well, that's the point I'm trying to make.
You didn't have to try to make it. We're all painfully aware of your status, my friend.
So,
well, yeah, Jack was there.
Happy Jack was there. And I walked...
Everybody but me.
I did exactly what a celebrity of my status does at an opening. I walked in the line to get on the red carpet, and then got to the end of the red carpet and kept going and walked around to the Penn & Teller Theater. So I didn't see the show, but my wife saw the show. Happy Jack saw the show. And Prince played three songs, which I don't think is a ripoff, because that's what he said he was going to play.
Right.
He said he was going to play a short period of time, and he did. He played Purple Rain, Let's Go Crazy, and then a song would begin that nobody recognized.
So, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, yeah. And... Prince is fabulous, and now he's at the Rio, and it's a really big deal. You know, he's like, they've been talking about, you know, our little hotel, which when we came to the Rio, it was not nearly as big a deal. I mean, we had like an opening celebration and stuff, but Prince didn't walk on our red carpet and then turn around and go the other way. No. So he's now staying at the Rio. So people are coming to the Rio who are Prince fans.
He lives at the Rio now?
Yes, he does.
Wow.
He's got a suite up on those floors. But this brings us to the fact, my wife was thrilled to pieces with the show. She thought three shows. Well, my wife, I think she always wishes concerts were shorter. So three songs of Prince, she's thrilled to pieces. She's not a real deadhead, you know?
Right.
So those long guitar jams, I don't think she's really into that much anymore. We saw the Zappa show in New York. Zappa plays Zappa, and that was fabulous. It was 3 hours long and just wonderful. You know, there's a lot of good shows. There's only three shows that I have walked out of, you know, not seeing the whole show. One was Polanka. Polanka?
Polanka?
Polanka. Polanka was playing some amusement park that I was playing, and I went to see him and just lost interest in Polanka. And Judy Collins. I went to see Judy Collins at a music fair in New Jersey or something, and I just part of the way through. I bought a whole series. Actually, I was performing. I was juggling out in front of the show, so I got this series of tickets. And one was Sousa Marches, and I went and watched 2.5 hours of Sousa Marches, and I was thrilled. And maybe after Sousa Marches, Judy Collins. You know, it's just like, it's just not the right, it's like having, you know, orange juice with donuts or something. It's just, both of them may be okay separately. And then I also walked out of, two more concerts. I walked out of U2. U2, Bono.
Really?
They did a show called Zoo TV or something.
And you walked out?
Yeah, I did.
Were you comped?
I did.
Did they comp you in?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, that's a big difference.
Is it a big difference?
I don't think you can walk out of a comped show.
I was waiting. They didn't, like, Bono didn't see me walk out of the comp show.
All right.
I mean, I've stayed at really dreadful, dreadful shows that, hi, Lance, that I was comped to,
hey.
And they were friends of mine, and that I couldn't really walk out. And then I also couldn't stay through the whole Grateful Dead.
Yeah,
I went to see the Grateful Dead at Meadowlands, and I thought that there would at least be, you know, I thought there would be buxom young women in tie-dyed T-shirts, you know, doing that weird swirly dance.
Yeah,
and I could watch their breasts because I was on stage.
They're out front. They don't actually go inside. Those women don't have tickets.
They don't.
No,
they just swirly
dance. They swirl out front. Yeah,
swirl out front. Yeah, I was very. I mean, I expected the Grateful Dead to be horrible and unwatchable, and I was disappointed. disappointed. They were worse than that. They were worse than that. So I thought maybe today we could have people call in 866-570-PEN 7366 and tell us the worst concert they ever saw with Donald Rumsfeld. No. leave that whole part off. Leave the Donald Rumsfeld part off. But I would just like to hear bad concerts because Prince, who I think is fabulous and wonderful, I saw him at Radio City Music Hall and wasn't that thrilled. I saw Sinatra. Okay, but I saw Sinatra in his Sex Pistols phase when he came out on stage really hating the audience. I saw him at Radio City also, and it was Sinatra and I guess Dean Martin canceled. So it was Sinatra, Sammy, and Liza Minnelli. I guess it was in the 80s. And a guy came up to me at that show and said to me, you know, Pat, I have to introduce myself because I went to see the Ramones last week, and I'm going to see Sinatra tonight, and I saw you at both shows. And I think I should at least meet you after that. But Ramones.
He should be your best friend now,
shouldn't
he? I
saw the Ramones four or five times, never saw a bad show.
Right.
Never. Ramones were always fabulous. But Sinatra came out on stage, and the guy sitting next to me, who was a stranger, turned to me and said, why is he mad at us? We applauded when he came out. We didn't do anything wrong. But he was surly. He was surly, and he was also, you know, he wasn't as strong a voice as he was.
That's why he was surly.
Maybe that's right. But, I mean, it wasn't my fault, you know. I wasn't the one
guilty.
That kept him up all night smoking and drinking. Wasn't me that got him old. I don't know why I got yelled at. I guess maybe I was taking it personally. There were other people at Radio City Music Hall.
Could have been yelling at the back row.
Sure.
He's mad at them.
For buying tickets so late.
Such rotten seats. Why would you buy those terrible seats?
Maybe. Although Radio City's a good place to see a show.
Yeah.
You can see pretty. What's the worst show you ever saw?
I don't go to many shows, but, you know, I saw a Grateful Dead show in Wisconsin and it rained. And it's, you know, it was outdoors on this kind of grassy hill. And about halfway through the show, everyone in the audience had slid down to the front of the stage in the mud and was just laying there in the rain waiting to die. I managed to slither out about a half hour into the show and escape, but it was bad.
Why did you go to a Grateful Dead show in Wisconsin?
I had friends who were Grateful Dead fans. So
why were you in Wisconsin?
I was working at the Great America Park.
So it always ties into the Great America.
All of our world revolves around Great America.
It sure does. And your friends were Deadheads, and they said, come on, Gudo.
Yeah, we got to go to the Dead
Show. Let's go
show.
And see the Dead.
We went in this giant Suburban, this like 1940s, whatever the Suburban was called at that point, that had no windshield wipers. And it was raining, and oh, it was a great adventure.
You had the full Dead experience.
I had the full Dead experience.
Did you have a grilled cheese afterwards?
I did not, but I got a tie-dye shirt with Calvin and Hobbes on it, which I, of course, later threw away when I found out that Bill Watterson had not licensed anything. So I dumped all my Calvin and Hobbes. I was like, Calvin and Hobbes shirts at last! And then I tossed them out.
you were just being a good moral guy.
I was.
866-570-PEN. That's 7366 if you don't have letters on your phone. PENradio@gmail.com. PENradio.com. And we'll take calls about the worst show, worst live shows you've seen. We're going to say concerts. You want to just say shows?
You can say shows because I've seen a lot of bad shows. If you want to go to shows, I got some stories, my friend.
I'm afraid to say shows. I'm afraid someone would call and say Penn and Teller. That's what terrifies me. I'm trying to keep that out of
just
there.
Face up to it, man. There's somebody who's that was their worst show experience.
Of course there is.
And maybe they've just had a terrific show experience before that. Maybe their worst show is still a great show.
Yeah, there you go. It's all been good. But there are some people. Don't you have that woman that's writing into us that doesn't like our radio show?
Yeah, see.
Does she still listen?
She'll call in.
Does she still listen?
I don't know.
But you said that she, you told her to
maybe Carol
the
will call us and complain. She'll call us and say, the worst show I ever saw was this one right now.
I'm looking at my radio. Nothing's moving. But there is that woman you're writing back and forth with, right? Because you answer the Gmail.
I do answer most of the Gmail.
PENradio@gmail.com. And Michael Goudeau will answer you or he'll forward it to me and I'll shirk.
You'll go, and send it back to me.
That's what I do. PENradio.com is where we're on. And we've got people calling in like crazy with their bad
we have email, too.
Bad show stories. You got one?
Man. Yeah. This is from Cody. Uh-huh. I was at the Tulsa State Fair in Oklahoma and watched The Wonder. That was David Hasselhoff. He sat through 5 minutes of a David Hasselhoff playing music show.
Wow. Does David Hasselhoff sing?
Apparently he did for a short time.
Wow. That's amazing.
Bye. He claims he's big in Germany. So.
Yeah, he's coming into the producers here.
He's coming into the producers?
I think David
Hasselhoff. Can we get him on the show?
He's playing playing in the producers.
That would be great.
You want him on the show?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Jack, can we get David Hasselhoff on the show?
Jack's on the phone.
He's playing the part of, you know, he's doing the Hitler part, the part that sings right after Hitler.
So he's not going into Phantom. That would be really cool. I would love to see Hasselhoff in Phantom. Because I saw the guy who played Benson play the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera.
Really?
Yeah, and I have a real problem when I'm close to someone that I've seen in some other role. I just want to say, hey, Benson! I'm watching the show. It's this big, horrible, you know, da, 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 da. Hey, Benson! I just can't stop myself.
Why would you see Phantom with the guy who played Benson?
My wife wanted to see it.
Okay, that's
I will do anything my wife tells me to do.
That's the answer. Let's talk to Paul. What's up, Paul?
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Never better, boss. Have you seen some bad shows?
Oh, you're going to hang up on me for this one.
Okay, let's find what it is.
I was in New Orleans 2003,
uh-huh.
Went to go see Bob Dylan, and it sucked. It was brutal. It was like he didn't
even know
the crowd was there.
You know, I'm 51 years old, and I've had a hearing loss in my left ear. I don't hear that well. So you couldn't have said what I thought you said. It sounded to me, well, never mind. What did you say?
I said that I saw Bob Dylan in New Orleans 2003, and it sucked big time.
Okay, let me talk to Godot. It sounds like he's saying to me that Bob Dylan sucked.
That's what I'm hearing. I think the headset. Yeah.
It sounds like Bob Dylan, you're saying. Could you spell it?
Yeah, B-O-B-D-Y-L-A-N, Robert Zimmerman. Sucked.
What way did he suck? See, I've seen Dylan, 20, 25 times, and every time, except with, you know, the Grateful Dead, he's been wonderful. What was wrong with him at Jazz Fest?
It was just like he didn't even know the crowd was there.
Well, that's part of
his
charm.
He just wasn't into it.
Have you seen Dylan other times?
No, that was my first and only time.
Okay, so are you a Dylan fan?
Not particularly. We made up for that a couple days later, though. We didn't know George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic were in town, and that show just totally made up for it.
Yeah, George Clinton, I mean, there's no doubt that George Clinton is a fabulous, fabulous show. But so is Dylan. But maybe you need to come in with some sort of vocabulary, you know? It's possible that not knowing the Dylan stuff from being a fan.
Let's blame it on the audience.
Well, I'm familiar with him. I'm just not a fan.
Yeah, I guess that's it. Well, that's a heartbreaker. Boy, this whole subject just went right downhill there.
That's the end of the show. Thanks for calling. Good night.
Yeah, goodbye. Well, let's play
the music
for the rest of the time. Just play the Bucky music over and over again. Well, you know, Paul, Dylan does very, very strange shows, and I've seen him disconnected, and I've seen him engaged in a lot of different places. But what Dylan does is he really does do a different show that's right in that time every time. So I believe it could be possible that you saw a bad Dylan show. And strangely, Paul, I don't hate you.
Fair enough.
I think it's okay. I've been able to take this like a man. I'm a grown-up. I mean, 10 years ago you said that, I would have broken down and cried. But now I think I'm a stronger...
I would have paid to see that.
Seeing me cry is easy. Just come to see a movie with me. That's all you got to do. You know,
the hedge. He's
when
crying.
Borat gets back with the black hooker at the end of his movie, I'm crying a little bit.
I welled up a little, too.
No, there you go. Okay, see, Paul and I have found common ground. We're okay. Thanks a lot, Paul. Boy, that was a bad first call. I know, only that Paul's bad. It just, but this will be, this, I'm going to try to, let me see, what name should I go with? Rich. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, Penn, how are you, man?
Good. What bad shows have you seen, Rich?
I actually used to work at MTV, Madison Square Garden, high school ticket scalper. The two worst shows I ever saw.
When you say work, you were self-employed.
Yes, I was self-employed in school. Yes, correct, sir.
And you were you would scalp tickets?
I used to wait out online, had people wait out, and you know, I was the victimoan of the high school in Westport, Connecticut, back in '86.
And what was your markup usually?
Tell you the truth, I mean, back then, you know, in '86, concerts were $18 to $35 at the most expensive.
Uh-huh.
So like it could be $60 or $70. I even got to do a economics presentation on supply and demand.
So really, you would do about 100% markup?
Oh yeah, minimum probably. Yeah. Like I could tell you exactly. I did Madonna's first tour.
Uh-huh.
I did the Hot Tub tour for Phil Collins.
Uh-huh.
Couple other shows. You know, something I was like small potatoes, you know, no big
deal.
It was more S and giggles, you know.
But you made your money.
Yeah, you know, something actually, I really usually made money for somebody else. There was a couple in fronting for them as the connection at high school.
I see. And what was the worst show you saw?
Well, the two worst were Jethro Tull.
Uh-huh.
Brutal. And I love Ian Anderson. I think he's a cool guy.
And this was during the 80s?
The late 80s. The music was just awful.
Uh-huh.
Awful. And the other was David Bowie Glass Spider Tour at the Hartford Civic Center.
Hartford Civic Center? I used to go to the Hartford. I think I actually saw Tull at the Hartford Civic Center. That would have been, I'm a lot older than you, so that would have been probably in the
70s. Actually, Penn, my grandfather did the advertising for you when you guys were on Broadway. His name was Julian Bass.
Yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, because there was a story that one time you were having lunch, and I know that you like to have everything approved, nothing got by you, you're a good details kind of guy.
Oh, yeah, that's not true, but go ahead.
And he happened to be there, and he had to show you the advertisements and get your approval before he could do anything with them.
Oh, is that true? You sure
wasn't
telling?
Yeah, you were like at the, what's the restaurant at the Holiday Inn, Plaza on the second floor there when you go in, that's where it was like the something grill.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that.
I remember that place. It was $5 for a glass of orange juice. I'll never forget
My grandfather, I happened to see him later that day, and he goes, oh, guess who I had to see today? And I went, who? He goes, Penn and Teller. I had to get some okays, and I actually run into him at a restaurant. It was, like, very funny.
Okay, good, but he didn't think we were bad guys, did he?
Oh, no. Actually, sadly, my grandfather was a Friars guy, and he thought you were actually very cool.
Oh,
he thought you were a funny man.
Good. Now, what was wrong with the Bowie show? There was nobody had
there
the...
Was something, the thing about the Bowie
he
show...
He had the Sales Brothers, right? Wasn't that the Sales Brothers tour?
Yep.
Should be Sales Songs
were
playing.
That was later.
Okay, later. So the Glass Spider
was... That was Tin Machine.
Oh, yeah, that was Tin Machine. Okay, so who was playing
with
them?
The Glass Spider tour was Bowie doing this whole... It was a theatrical concept... And he was a spider or something, and it was an awful album. It was like, you know, how much, I put it this way, back then, college, there's only so much you can smoke, and I needed more than I could ever, there wouldn't be enough hookah to go around. It was so awful. And I can even tell you, September 14th, 1987, Madison Square Garden saw one of the worst Dead shows in the history of Dead fans.
Really? What was wrong with this? How can you tell a bad Dead show?
I mean, it's just noodling. Personally, I was bored. I found it, you know, I was like, okay, thank God for the drum solo and all that stuff.
Whoa, that's a bad joke. One has ever in the world said, thank God for the drum solo.
Honestly, that was the highlight.
Mickey Hart saved the show.
I think he was, Jerry was going into a pre-early diabetic coma.
Okay, so we got Tull and Bowie, and what was the date? Maybe we can find someone else who was at that bad Dead show.
December 14th, 1987, Madison Square Garden.
Okay, Rich, we're going to find someone else who saw that show. Thanks so much.
Here's an email from someone who saw Joe Namath in the play Damn Yankees. Why would you make that choice?
Well, I saw Nipsey Russell, and a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum. in Atlantic City, an abbreviated form. And Nipsey Russell would stop in the middle of a funny thing happening on the way to the Forum and just do those little poems. You know? Children changing every day. They go fast and they go slow. They used to ask where we come from. Now they tell us where to go. Now it's back to the show. He would do that. That's my Nipsey Russell impersonation. Wasn't bad, was it? Pretty dead on. We're going to be back with more really bad shows you've seen. 866-570-PED 7366. Yeah, this is Penn Fraser Gillette here in Las Vegas, Nevada, with Michael Goudeau talking about bad shows that we've seen. People have been writing in like crazy. I mean, you want to talk bad shows. Of course, it's not a surprise. People listening to us would have heard bad shows. But this is from Bob, the Skeptical Christian. Have we ever talked with him about what it means to be a Skeptical Christian?
No, we haven't.
I mean, I don't even know what that means. Anyway, gentlemen, when I was in high school, I was kind of dating a girl who dragged me along to a concert at King's Dominion. I work King's Dominion. Virginia, did you?
No, I never worked Kings Dominion.
He said, think of Virginia version of Great America. Yeah, Teller and I worked Kings Dominion, of course. It may have been where I saw Paul Anka, as a matter of fact. It was an Amy Grant concert. This was not the Amy Grant of her kind of sexy country music phase. This was the Amy Grant of her contemporary Christian syrupiness. Because I really didn't like contemporary Christian music, I didn't even know who she was beforehand. I was surrounded by 1,000 annoying Christians, that's redundant, listening to music I don't know or like, and I couldn't walk out because I was there with a girl. And the girl was fat. You know, until you brought it up today, I'd block that memory. That's what Bob, the skeptical Christian, says.
It's nice that we're bringing back the fond childhood memories.
Terrible memories. Let's find out who else saw a bad show. Let's talk to Dennis. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Never better, boss. How are you, man?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I'm great, man.
Great show. Love you guys.
Thanks, Dennis.
Back in 1970.
1970?
Yeah.
This might have been the beginning of all bad shows.
Probably. At Nassau Coliseum on Long Island, they teamed up the Beach Boys and Black Sabbath.
Wait a second. What?
They teamed those two up, and the Beach Boys come out.
Boy, wasn't 1970 a great year? That was a year when promoters could say, hey, let's put the Beach Boys with Black Sabbath, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us about the show.
So the Beach Boys come out, and they tear
the Beach Boys
down.
Were opening?
Yeah.
They were on first?
You know that? Yep. They're smart. That's because they asked them, do you guys want to go first or second? They said first because Black Sabbath is going to screw this up for all of us. If I go
and
first.
They tore the house down. They absolutely rocked the house. They came out for encores. The place was going
well,
wacky.
I just want to tell you, I'm a real cool head. I'm making real good bread. I just wanted you to know that about me when you mentioned the Beach Boys. You know that's the backing vocal on I Get Around, right?
Yeah.
That high part is, I'm a real cool head. I'm making real good bread. Okay, so they tore the house place. They did encores. They were fabulous. This is about the Surf's Up time, isn't it? Around that,
right. Yeah. So now Black Sabbath comes out,
yeah,
and they were horrible. They were literally booed off the stage by the third song. Ozzy Osbourne goes wacky. He's cursing everybody out. He's giving everybody the finger. They storm off. The place goes crazy, and the Beach Boys come back out.
Really? Oh, man.
It was unbelievable.
Here's a little image for you. Wouldn't you like to see any sort of contest, let's say debate, chess, nude wrestling, anything you want, Brian Wilson against Ozzy Osbourne? Wouldn't that be just great? You surely would be able to understand what they were saying.
Musical chairs.
Really. Unbelievable.
They came back out. When has that ever happened?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe it. And then, of course, it was a standing ovation. The place went crazy again, and they rocked for another half an hour. It was unbelievable.
Wow. And, you know, you could tell that story. You could tell that exact same story the other way around, that it would be completely believable. Right.
Well, if it wasn't Long Island, maybe.
But I mean, you could. This story could be. Someone could call in and go, "Went to see Black Sabbath and the Beach Boys. Black Sabbath came out. They rocked so hard. They were just great. Beach Boys came out there and said, you suck. Booed them off the stage. Black Sabbath came back on and rocked. I mean, it could have gone either way.
Well,
it's not like an obvious one. You know, it's not like, you know, the Mothers and Bread.
It was such a dichotomy of groups.
Yeah. Well, I thought the Mothers of Bread was pretty good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank God.
Thanks so much, Dennis. Who else do you want to do here? Let's go with Derek. What's up, Derek?
Hey, not much. How's it going there, Gillette and Godot?
We're doing very well, speaking for Godot and myself.
That's good. You know, I don't see too many shows, so I can pick and choose. I don't see too many bad shows. But against my will, when I was 6 years old, I had to see Air Supply at the state fair.
what state?
Colorado.
Colorado State Fair Air Supply.
Yeah.
What's Air Supply's big hit?
All out of love, I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believe it was solo. And that's been stuck in my head for the last 27 years.
That was beautiful.
Man.
Thank you.
That was great. I really like that. I don't like that Air Supply song, but somehow your turn on it was very nice. You had a more edgy quality than they have, you know? They have this kind of eunuch quality, and yours had a little bit of guts to it.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's, I think that's damning with faint praise, because to be edgier than Air Supply.
Exactly. That was the, that was perhaps, as a matter of fact, the OED is still adding words when they want to put in the phrase damning with faint praise. That may be a citation. I may have my first one. I sure hope they're listening.
Okay.
So you, at 6 years old, you knew they were vapid, empty, and horrible?
Well, my mom and my sister both liked them, and I, just because I was 6 years old, I hated anything that my sister liked.
How old is your sister?
She's 3 years older than I am, so she would have been nine at the time. But, it was just, it was torture, and I amused myself by coming up with alternate lyrics to annoy my mom.
At 6 years old?
Yeah, well, you know, I had nothing better to
do. You were an annoying prodigy, weren't you?
Oh, I was annoying from three on.
Maybe earlier you can't remember.
That's true.
It's true. And did you have fair treats? I mean, the fair is a really good place. State fairs are great.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had spent the entire day there, so this was just like, this was a really bad culmination of a really good day.
Yeah, sure, because you had had, you know, candy apples and cotton candy, and you'd won yourself a cocaine mirror that said Journey across it.
I think mine was Black Sabbath or the Beach
Boys. Okay. Okay, man. Thanks a lot, Derek. Thank you so much.
You know, your wife writes in to say that you were Habibi King opening for you once, and you insisted that they change the billing.
Yeah, I insisted on that. Yeah, we were playing.
You knew BB was going to suck, right?
No. We were playing in Atlantic City, and it was going to be Penn and Teller with BB King opening, and I thought that BB King deserved. I mean, he was much more important to the world than Penn and Teller. And always will be. You know, B.B. King changed the world and was such a powerful, wonderful guy and such an important influence on music that I just said, I can't bring myself to walk out on stage and say, hey, give it up for B.B. King, and now we're Penn and Teller. It just seemed so, it seemed rude, it seemed impolite, it seemed to lack respect and lack a kind of knowledge of popular culture. So I said, I talked to BB King and said, would you please let us go on first so that I can first of all not worry about my show and just enjoy yours, and second of all, because if I were a person that knew about popular culture and I went to see Penn and Teller and BB King and BB King went on first, I would feel it was disrespectful.
Okay.
So it wasn't because I thought he was going to suck and didn't want to fall.
When I used to work cruise ships, yeah. I always insisted on opening. Because of the opposite reason. I don't know what that other guy is going to do.
Right.
But I know what I'm going to do for half an hour, and I'm going to do it and get out of here.
Well, no, there's a lot of reasons for that. But that is a wise move in the chessboard. But this was strictly a question of respect. It had
absolutely
nothing to do with
right
how my career was going or anything like that. And by the way, B.B. King is the nicest human being that's ever walked the face of the earth. B.B. King is astonishing. He is so nice. His niceness is performance art, you know? And this is a story that I think, I have a lot of backup on this, and it may be true. B.B. King, when we played with him for a whole week in Atlantic City, and he would play Keno, you know? And he would play Keno with his dinner. And I said to one of the guys in the band, BB King plays Keno? And I kind of laughed. The guy would be really straight and said, there's nothing funny about that. And I said, what do you mean? And he goes, well, we don't make fun of BB King for playing Keno. And I said, well, what do you mean? It's like an old white lady's game, and he's a strong blues man. Should he be playing craps or at least blackjack or poker or something? And he said, no, he plays Keno, and that's fine. And I said, I don't get this. So I asked him, and the band told me that they made fun of him mercilessly for playing Keno. He'd go down to the coffee shop every night before the shows, and he would play Keno while he had his dinner alone. And all the guys in the band would go, play some craps, play some real stuff. And then one day, he'd do this for years, he played casinos and stuff, he hit the jackpot for $50,000. That's the figure I remember. Mm-hmm. That, of course, could be wrong. Hit the jackpot for $50,000, brought the money up to the band, gave an equal split of the money to every member of the band and every member of the road crew without taking a split for himself, and then said, and now all of you, you shut the F up about me playing Keno. And that, well, that was the BB King story they told. And I checked it out with the casino, and they said it was true. This is Ped Gillette. We're talking about bad shows, which does not include BB King. And we'll be back after this. Ped Gillette, Michael Goodell. That's Mike Jones playing the piano on the Penn Jillette Show. Mike Jones, who I've seen in concert many, many times, and is never disappointed. Never disappointed at all. Mike Jones playing the piano.
His bass player's not bad.
And you can go to PennRadio.com and find out. I think we just giving his music away, right?
Yeah, a lot of people have written in asking for the patriotic monkey music, and we haven't got that up.
We haven't got that up yet. We'll get that up. We'll get that up for you. And also you can find out about Jones Jazz, which you can find out about Mike Jones. And Mike Jones, you know, is the name of the rapper and also the name of the man-ass that brought down I never can remember his name. Halpern?
Haggard.
Haggard brought him down, Mike Jones. This is a different Mike Jones in both of those. It would be
we
so
were
much
hoping
cooler.
It'd be great if it was
so
all,
much
him
cooler.
For all of
it was all the same. Let's talk to we're talking about bad concerts we've seen. Let's get started by Prince, who was at the Rio, which is the Penn and Teller Hotel.
But you're not saying it was a bad show.
That's right. I was going to make that very clear.
Okay.
That kicked it off because Prince played three songs and was so good that people wanted more. And but my wife was very happy. She just said Prince was stunningly good, and we're very happy to have him at the Rio with us in 3121, his club and his restaurant, and people will come to the Rio, and maybe some of them will decide to make an evening of it and see Penn and Teller and then go see Prince, which seems like a... here's one that somebody that wrote in that said, this is from Sharon, "Hi, Michael. Hi, Penn. One of the most disappointing concerts for me was also Prince." Now, she shouldn't say also Prince because it was a good show last night, so I've heard. This was just a couple years ago for his Musicology tour when he was still singing. It was great. But for almost every one of the big hits, he would do the thing where he would stop singing, have the audience sing instead. I expect to see that happen at most concerts for one or two songs, but not for every song. I felt like we'd spent over $100 for a karaoke show. The most disappointing thing about it to me were the parts of the concert he was singing were great. People I know had seen him before said it was just a complete turnaround from his Symbol for a Name, hating Warner Brothers days. I'm in Minneapolis, and so he was rocking out to a hometown crowd. By the fourth time, he had a hard time enjoying my favorite songs because I knew that was coming again. I was glad I saw him, but I don't know if I'd pay that much to do it again. And that's all because, you know, when he was singing, he was great, you know. Prince, I think Prince is a fabulous performer, fabulous guitar player, fabulous singer, and he's just such a nut, you can't tell what you're going
to
get.
Well, you and I went to see that Prince tribute band, right?
Oh, yeah.
Purple Rain.
Which is so, since Prince has moved to Vegas, right, and is now living at the Rio, yeah, the Prince tribute band, they're like totally screwed. Right?
It's probably not good for their business.
Yeah, also that Prince was much too tall. Purple Rain Prince was like 6 foot.
Yeah.
And Prince is like 5 foot.
He did a good job. You know, I don't know enough about Prince. I'm not familiar enough with Prince for it to make a difference to me. It was like I saw Prince for free. And I didn't have to sing along at all. He did everything.
Yeah, well, tribute bands are great. I mean, I really do like tribute bands. One of the things I thought about doing for a shindig at my house was to set up a stage and get like 10 tribute bands to play all day. You know, just get that, get a whole show going on there. Because, you know, the Fab Four, who play a lot in town, the Beatles tribute band are wonderful. And I saw Van Halen tribute band with the David Lee Roth lookalike, and of course the David Lee Roth lookalike was then doing this radio show for a short period of time, but that ended quickly, and they did a David I haven't seen a lot of tribute bands. There's a movie about them where there was a Monkees tribute band, which I thought was a great idea. But let's see who we got.
Wasn't the Monkees a Beatles tribute band?
No, they were a corporate version of the band. So I don't know. He just held up a sign in there. 2112, would you say? Okay, never. Bad joke. He was making a bad joke, holding it up. I'm trying to do a show here. Let's talk to Mark. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's happening, son?
We're just doing this show. You see any bad shows?
You know, actually, it was my buddy Rick was at a walk for autism awareness, and Chaka Khan was doing a couple of numbers there, and she came shuffling past him with her posse, and he said she smelled of like Aquanet and grease paint, and he said she proceeded to get up on stage, and they had everything turned up to 11. And, you know, and so she was jamming, but, you know, it's a bunch of, I guess, autistic kids and their parents. And she's jamming that stuff, and they got it cranked up all the way. He said it was unbelievable.
Yes. My son is autistic, and I can't imagine him at a Chaka Khan concert. I can't imagine nothing less pleasant. And that has nothing to do with Chaka Khan.
She may have made more people autistic, I think, that day somehow.
Well, you know, I saw a, you know, Neil Young does the Bridge Show around the Bay Area. Like every
right.
year, you know, for the Bridge School. And they put the kids up on stage, kids in wheelchairs with, like, pointers on their heads and stuff who are seriously disabled. They're challenged, whatever the proper word is. I don't mean no offense to anyone. And they were all on stage with these pointers and stuff. And then they put, like, you know, Jerry Garcia and Bob Weir in the middle playing this interminable set with these poor kids in wheelchairs on stage who couldn't move. And I'm looking at them going, and they're, like, moving their pointers. I mean, what are they spelling out? Get me the hell out of here. Please,
help me,
something
mother.
That's not in E. Not in E. Please go to a different key. Could there be some surprise? I am so sick of the dominant seventh. Please, please, please. Just begging there, you know, by bobbing their heads. So, yeah, I guess we could do a whole show on concerts I've seen for special needs children where the act was not exactly the right one. Let's talk to Mike. What's up, Mike? Mike?
Hey, hello.
How you doing, Mike?
There he is.
Hey, great. Yeah, it was sometime in the early 70s, 2, 3, 4. It was at RFK in D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and it was Frampton and Yes. Frampton, right. Frampton, we blew us away. It was an hour and a half, him sitting on a chair doing his thing when Frampton comes alive.
Did he do his mouth thing?
Yes. It was fantastic. But when it came to Yes, it took him an hour and a half to get the stage ready. Cause they had to,
yeah.
Listen to this. They played in their bare feet, and they had to staple carpet down over all the plywood, and it took freaking forever.
And this could have been solved by shoes.
Exactly.
It wasn't like you know, I went to see the Black Crowes, you know, in New York City. I guess this would have been the late 80s. And the Black Crowes lead singer came out barefoot. And there was a tentative quality to his foot tapping. And I really thought at that moment, maybe you can't really rock out without shoes. Maybe barefoot is not the way. I mean, Donovan, I guess, would at least sit in one place. But if you're going to stand up and bang your feet down, I mean, what is his name? Edie Brickell?
Yeah.
She played barefooted too, didn't she?
Yeah. And you can tell that sort of lack of driving beat.
So you watch them for an hour and a half stapled
out. James Taylor should play barefoot.
Yes, and after 15 minutes, and yes, three-quarters of the stadium got up and walked out. They were so horrible.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was never a Yes fan. As a matter of fact, the story that's probably not true about the Sex Pistols is when they first met Johnny Rotten. He was wearing a Yes T-shirt that had spray painted over it "No," which always struck me as just this beautiful, beautiful image for the creation of punk. Well, thank you so much, Mike. I don't know how I feel about that. You know, Peter Frampton was Sopwith Campbell, right?
What's that?
He was Sopwith Campbell before that. I guess, you know, I've always had a thing, you know, not really been fond of Peter Frampton, but I guess it's only because of that. You know, I wonder how you're feeling is ringing in my ears and the mouth guitar thing. But I guess I don't know enough about him to have a real comment. Let's talk.
Well, I didn't realize he was saying "I want to thank you" with the guitar for a long time, and so I was pretty interested in the show. But when I figured out he was saying "thank you,"
the word "thank" can sound.
It sounded like something else to be coming through the.
Yeah,
you know.
I can understand that.
Wow, this is a good show. And I was just wrong. So.
Yeah, let's talk to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, what's up, man?
Hey, Penn, how you doing?
Never better, boss. What's up?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of good shows, a lot of great concerts. As far as showmanship, you know, I think Kiss puts on the best show. As far as musically wise, Stevie Ray Vaughan was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the one show I went and saw, my wife got me tickets, it was like 89, and I was there, and after 5 minutes, I'm like, what am I doing here with Paula Abdul? I could not believe I was standing there watching. It was a joke. It was unbelievable.
What did she do? Was there a lot of dancing?
Oh, there was tons of dancing. There was probably more dancers than there was actual band members.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all these, like, waving banners and flags and all this other kind of stuff going on, and it was more about the dancing than the singing of the music. Well, and I think some of the music actually might have been taped.
She did a pep rally kind of thing, didn't she? Paul Abdul always seemed like her show. You know, when I was in high school, they would do like football team pep rallies, and I just hated them. And Paul Abdul, wasn't she a cheerleader or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Lakers, you're right.
Yeah, she was like a cheerleader, then went on to do that whole thing, along with Tito, right? And what were her hits? What songs was she having? Was she Oh Ricky, You're So Fine?
No,
that's Tony Basil. Okay, she was the Straight Up Now Tell Me, and
Oh yeah, yeah, Straight Up Now Tell Me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
I could never tell Mariah Carey, Tony Basil, and Paul Abdul are the same person to me. Those three
well,
people.
I don't mind Paul Abdul. I mean, it's fine, but this was a spectacle, but it was just not enjoyable.
Yeah, it's surprising that so many strippers call themselves dancers, because guys, as a rule, aren't into dancing, you know? I think that when you say dancing, I'm just never interested. For a while, I was trying to be cultured in New York City, you know, which is a mistake, but I was just banging my head against the wall, because I would try to go see, like, dance
ballet,
companies,
yeah.
Ballet and stuff, and try to really understand it, and I'm afraid it's beyond me. But I'm not saying that Paula Abdul is, you know, comparable to New York avant-garde dance company. But I think if you want to make a list of things I don't understand, and there'll be, you know, millions of things on that list, unified field theory would be right up there, too.
But, next to Paula Abdul.
But dance and Paula Abdul, I don't get it all. Okay, thanks a lot, Jeff. Thank you so much, Jeff. We want to take another call or two there. Let's take this call. Let's talk to Alan. What's up, Alan?
Hi, the two worst concerts I ever saw was John Cage and Sun Ra, and I was conducting in it, and it was bad.
You were conducting?
Yeah, I was conducting. There was a piece for toy pianos, and there were, like, exceptional piano players. And I was conducting. I was embarrassed for myself. I mean, I had a clock in one hand and a notepad in the other, and every minute I would flip. Notepad was numbered from 10 to 1. And every minute I would flip over a card from 10 to 1 and tear it off. I was embarrassed for myself. All these people in the audience going, this is genius. These people are like skilled piano players just monkeying around on these toy pianos. No,
I might like that show.
but the John Cage stuff is supposed to be conceptual.
Yeah, but I mean, the concept was like ludicrous. It was like, and the other concert I saw that was really bad was Cecil Taylor, and I love Cecil Taylor.
Yeah, how could Cecil Taylor be bad?
Because he was, frankly speaking, I'd seen him 2 years ago, and it was just shtick. He'd jump around and walk around and mumble. It was like he'd gotten so used to being on the edge that is on the edge and moved back from the edge.
Wow, you're a musician, I take it.
No, I play it playing music. I do a little performance poetry. I've got a CD called Mr. Magoo in Hell.
Oh, that's a good name. Well, I mean, it seems like you're avant-garde enough that you should have gotten it. So maybe you're right. Thanks a lot, man. Talking about bad concerts, this is Ben Gillette and Michael Godot on the Free FM CBS Radio. We'll be back tomorrow, and on this whole time, we're going to miss you.